Well, good morning again. So this morning, things are a little bit different. We've got a guest speaker. And so actually, I'm going to introduce the person who's going to introduce. Does that work? Okay. So Liz is part of our missions committee. And most of you know Liz, if nothing else, it's shoebox lady. And it's shoebox season, too. So so be thinking about that, the Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes. But today, it's a little bit different. So I'm going to hand it over to Liz.
I'm pleased to be able to introduce Debbie Eisenhut, who you will find out about. She is a surgeon, and Debbie was born and raised in the Salem area. She attended Oregon State University and Oregon Health Sciences University. After surgical training in San Antonio, she practiced general surgery in Salem, Oregon for almost 21 years. In 2007, she went to Pakistan with World Venture and later to Liberia with SIM. Still with SIM, she is currently serving as a faculty member with Pan-African Academy of Christian Surgeons, training young African doctors to be surgeons in Bingo Baptist Hospital in Cameroon. So with further ado, Debbie Eisenhut.
Okay, power on. Okay, very good. Okay, thank you. All right, so now can you hear me okay? Very good, let me get this on here. And so I'm just gonna update you on what's going on in my ministry. Many of you, let's see here, is that gonna turn on here? There we go, I think I didn't have it on right. There we go, perfect, okay. So many of you know since August of 2015, I've been working at Bingo Baptist Hospital in Cameroon, training young African doctors to be surgeons, Christian surgeons. I'm a missionary with SIM, okay? And I'm working with the Pan-African Academy of Christian Surgeons. After this, I'll refer to that as PACS. So when you hear the name PACS, that's what that means. But you may be thinking, what does this have to do with the Great Commission to go and make disciples in all the nations? Well, in Luke, a religious leader asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus responded with the parable of the Good Samaritan. And then he said, "Which of these three guys, the priest, the Levite, or the Good Samaritan, proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands?" And religious leader said, "Well, of course, the one who showed mercy toward him." And Jesus said, "Go and do the same." And this parable of Jesus begins with a question and ends with a command. And I think the question remains today, who is my neighbor? And then also, what should we be doing? You may know that much of the emphasis in healthcare traditionally in the developing world has been on nutrition, sanitation, and improving living conditions, or on the big three, you know, HIV, malaria, tuberculosis. And it was felt that the putting too much emphasis on surgical treatment and hospitals was really too expensive. But a recent study published in The Lancet in 2015, The Lancet is a major medical journal in the United Kingdom, that study changed that. The Lancet Commission on Global Surgery, and this map appeared in that journal. And the darker the red, the worse the access to surgery and anesthesia for people. You can see in some places in sub-Saharan Africa, close to 100% of the people cannot access safe and affordable surgical care. Many areas have only one surgeon for 250,000 people. Some, like South Sudan, have one surgeon for 2.5 million people. And of course, the access is poor due to poverty and distance. There were five findings of this commission. One, that 5 billion people in the world lack access. In order to catch up every year, you'd have to do this many million surgeries. 33 million people in the world face the equivalent of bankruptcy if they do get the surgery they need. And of course, that's even true here in the US. But they found, this is very interesting, investment in surgical and anesthesia care saves lives, is affordable, and promotes economic growth. In other words, the lack of access to safe and affordable surgical care actually inhibits the economic growth of nations. 10% of deaths are avoidable by surgical intervention. This really chills me. Here in the 21st century, only 5 to 10% of women can get a C-section if they need it. And then 20% of deaths are avoidable in children by surgical care. And one example is this little girl right here. You can't see her eyes, they're beautiful, but she's a little girl from the Fulani tribe. And many of you know that the Fulani tribe live throughout West Africa. They're herders and also tradesmen, and they're almost all Muslim. There are quite a few Fulanis in our area, and they get their medical care at Bingo. And this little girl, this newborn girl, was brought in, and she had a defect in her swallowing tube, so she couldn't swallow. But then she was found to have a heart defect. Excuse me. And we could fix, my program chairman, Dr. Jim Brown, could have fixed the defect in the esophagus, but we had no way to fix the heart defect. So she was sent home to die. And here in the United States, this child would have had surgery for both problems, and she would have gone on to live a normal life. She didn't have really anything else wrong with her. So what should our response be as Christians? Are these people our neighbors? And I think that most of us Christians would say yes, in light of Scripture, yes, they are our neighbors. And I like this verse in Proverbs. I use this as the motivation to help when I was working with Ebola. It's a verse from Proverbs, and it says, "Deliver those who are being taken away to death, and those who are staggering to slaughter, oh, hold them back. If you say, 'See, we did not know this,' does he not know it who can waste the heart? And does he not know it who keeps your soul?" And so God wants us to help look after the needs of others. This is David and Becky Thompson, Dr. David Thompson and his wife Becky. He is a retired missionary surgeon. He founded a hospital in Gabon called Bangolo Hospital. And he, when he was working there, he was concerned, and he was praying, crying out to the Lord, you know, who's going to replace me when I retire? And he felt God's answer was that he should train young African doctors. So he began to train young African surgeons, and that was the start of the PACS program. And now PACS is a commission of the Christian Medical Dental Association here in the U.S. There are now 12 training programs throughout Africa. I'm at Bingo Baptist Hospital here in Cameroon, right there. There are 9 general surgery programs, which I'm part of, and then there's 1 head and neck program, also at Bingo, a pediatric surgery program, and an orthopedic surgery program in Kenya. There are currently 70 residents in training throughout PACS. 73 graduates are already working in Africa. And the mission statement, PACS exists to train and disciple African surgeons to glorify God and provide excellent, compassionate care to those most in need. And we envision African surgeons living the gospel and ministering to the sick. The program includes discipleship. We want our graduating doctors to be Christian surgeons, not just surgeons who happen to identify as Christians. Mbingo Baptist Hospital, or Mbingo as we call it, has over 300 beds. Many services are available there, surgery, internal medicine, pediatrics, OBGYN, eye care, even getting prosthetic limbs, HIV, all kinds of treatment. It's in a rural area of Northwest Cameroon, but it has become a national referral center. As is common in Africa, the medical system in Cameroon is very weak. There are a few qualified doctors, and even if people can get to a doctor, they often can't afford the fees they charge. At Bingo and other hospitals in the Cameroon Baptist Convention, though, patients can get emergency care, life-saving care, even before they pay, and that's very unusual in places like Africa. Our young training doctors, we call them residents. So when I say residents, that's a young doctor who's learning to be a surgeon. Our residents begin work at 6 a.m., getting ready to see the patients, getting ready for faculty rounds, which is at 7 a.m. And here we are in our morning report on the surgical ward, talking about the patients that were admitted the last 24 hours. Then after morning report, we go around and see the patients with our teams. Here I am with my team at a bedside in the female ward. Or we go over our list. We call it running our lists. Then we head to the operating room, and we do surgery every day. And before the troubles began, the security troubles that I'll talk about later, that amounts to 12,000 cases a year, at least 1,000 a month. And we're often in the operating room finishing our elective cases late into the afternoon or early evening. Meanwhile, the call team that has been doing clinic that day has gathered a bunch of emergency cases that they need to do, and they're coming to the OR to try to find a surgical team in a room to get the day's emergency cases started. Often there are not enough operating rooms or OR crew to do the cases. Emergencies stream in constantly throughout the day and night, so we're very busy when we're on call. The residents take the brunt of the work, but it's tiring for us all. And when a big operation is done at night, I need to be there, as it's a training program. You can't teach surgery over the telephone. Here we are, we're draining blood from a man's head. He had an injury and had a collection of blood in his head. Since June 2016, we were four faculty members until last month, when Dr. Abeli and his family went to Malawi in East Africa because of the troubles, the security troubles. All the schools have been closed, and so his kids have to be in school, so they've left. So now it's just me, Dr. Mark Snell, and Dr. Jim Brown. But now only Dr. Jim Brown and Dr. Mark Snell are there, so they're taking every other day call, which is very, very difficult. Even every third day call, as busy as we are, is very difficult, especially for me. I'm 61 years old, and I'm not getting any younger. It takes me 4 or 5 days to recover from an out of call, and then of course I'm on call 2 days later. And when I'm sleep deprived, sometimes I feel despondent and feel negative. And so it's wonderful when we have short-term volunteers that come. But because of the security troubles, they haven't been able to come right now. So it's really a stress on the faculty surgeons who are there. Many surgeons my age are slowing down in their careers, but God has asked me to ramp up. So God has a sense of humor. Help is on the way, we hope. Dr. Michael and Jennifer Harling, just graduated from his general surgery program in South Carolina. They were to have been on the ground in Cameroon in May. However, because of the security troubles, SIM said, go to France and learn language. So he's in the same school where I was, learning French. Jennifer is a pediatrician. And then Jason and Meredith Axe, he's a pediatric surgeon. He and his wife also just went to France to learn language. But the hope is that we'll all be on the ground together in 2019. This is Dr. Nathan and Hannah Peterson. Nathan is an ENT, ear, nose, and throat, and head and neck surgeon, and he's coming to be to work in the head and neck program, the fellowship there. And Hannah is an electrical engineer. But the most important thing to me is that they, if they're allowed to come, they will be my neighbors in the duplex, other side of the duplex. So I'm very much looking forward to them coming because it's been a sort of a lonely place, and I'll talk about that. They are scheduled to come in November when I'm supposed to go back, and so my prayer is that they will be allowed to go with the security troubles. It's unclear. At Bingo, we do many difficult cases that when I was practicing in Salem, Oregon, I would send up to the medical school or to the referral center. Well, at Bingo, we are the referral center, and that's sort of stressful for me. This is Dr. Jim Brown. He's a retired Navy surgeon, and he does a lot of the more difficult cases. He's also a thoracic surgeon, so he can do chest cases and stuff like that. The care that patients receive at Bingo is much better than that received at other hospitals. Most of the workers are very dedicated and try to do the best for the patient. There have been many improvements in patient care in the recent years, but many challenges remain. And when a hospital identifies as Christian, the care that's received should reflect that. But cultural influences remain strong, and it takes much time, patience, and teaching, and working from the Holy Spirit to bring about needed change to patient care. Please pray for patience for me as I work in a situation that doesn't provide the support I was used to in the United States, where there are many challenges. Just 5 years ago, Bingo Baptist Hospital was a sleepy regional hospital. Now it's a national referral center. In fact, it's a referral center for a good part of Central West Africa. Once night cases were rare, now we operate every night and sometimes all night. The difficulty of cases has increased markedly, but the training of the hospital staff has not risen to support such cases. There's no one there to train them. We struggle with inadequate anesthesia, virtually no ICU care, and very poor nursing care sometimes. They do their best, but they really need more training. We have several anesthetic misadventures or emergencies a week. And the day before I left Bingo, a healthy 7-year-old girl was put to sleep to examine her vocal cords because she was hoarse. And the faculty surgeon walked into the room and noticed that the child had died, and the anesthetist hadn't noticed. I wish I could say that was unusual, but I can tell you stories like that about every department there. We need a full-time, long-term anesthesiologist or anesthetist to do training, but we also need other specialists too. We want to do what we do in an excellent manner. This is Jackie Griffin. She's an OR nurse that she's now in the United States getting some medical care for a serious medical problem, but she has done training here. She's given a class and helping with her OR supplies. She's made our lives so much easier. My hope is that she'll be able to come back also. There's no one there doing her job while she's gone. The best part of my job is working with the residents. They're a joy to work with. All must have a credible Christian testimony to be accepted into the program, and they're motivated and eager to learn. And they work incredibly long hours. And remember, after we work all night, when we're on call, the next day is just a normal working day. You don't get the next day off. By the way, we are truly the Pan-African Academy of Christian Surgeons. Here's United States, DRC, that's Congo, that's Cameroon, Nigeria, Liberia, Nigeria, Cameroon, Nigeria, United States, DRC, Tanzania, Cameroon, and DRC. And not pictured would be South Sudan, Uganda, and Sierra Leone. So it's a joy to work with these people. As I mentioned, PACS is a discipleship program, but I tell people that the residents are discipling me more than I'm discipling them. Having lived in Africa all their lives, they're usually more patient than I am when things go wrong or someone's not doing his or her job. We have a weekly formal Bible study with a five-year spiritual curriculum that covers topics essential for being a Christian doctor. And if you're interested in what's in that curriculum, in the little green notebook on the table out there, there's a list of topics. You can see a lot of information from that. Bingo Baptist Hospital has an active chaplain service, and here are some of our chaplains. They're assigned to specific wards, but they're very understaffed. They give ward devotions and clinic devotions before clinic. The chaplains try to visit the patients and pray with them, and of course we do the same thing when we're talking to the patients on the ward or in the clinic. This is Pastor Hyacinth, and he's our chaplain assigned to the surgical ward, and he's very, very busy and very diligent. He goes around and tries to talk to every patient and their family members to see where they are spiritually. And he gives out Bibles and SD cards. SD cards are little things you put in your cell phone. And on that SD card, it comes in one of 70 different languages. And it has the audio Bible and has the Jesus film plus some other resources. And part of my ministry has been to help him financially to buy these Bibles and these SD cards. And patients and their families can also download stuff from the Bingo Baptist Hospital intranet, some free resources. And also there's a closed circuit TV system that plays Christian movies and sermons and cartoons and things like that. The hospital receives patients from all over Cameroon and Central West Africa, and also from many ethnic groups. And I mentioned the Fulanis. Here's some Fulani men coming down on their horses from the plateau above the hospital. Here are some Fulani men praying, doing their Muslim prayers out in front of the OB ward. But this group is traditionally Muslim and very resistant to the gospel. But they have been getting their medical care at Bingo, and so they have the opportunity to hear the love of Jesus. They can hear and respond to the gospel if they want. About 60% of our patients speak French. I'm in the English-speaking part of the country, but the bigger part is actually French-speaking. So an interpreter is not always available. And so because I didn't speak French, I couldn't pray with these patients, couldn't tell them about their operation, I couldn't share the gospel with them, couldn't take a history or really do much of anything with them without an interpreter. So for this reason, I went to the school in France in January and was able to take some French. As many of you know, I was only there for 12 weeks because my brother required some heart surgery, so I came home early and have been doing my home assignment. But I feel like I've got a pretty good foundation, and I'm trying to continue my French study here at home with some tutors. And my hope is that I'll be able to be useful in the language when I go back to Cameroon. It costs about $25,000 a year to train a resident. And most of them are sponsored by PACS, and this comes from donations to PACS, but some are sponsored by their churches, or maybe an individual, or by a hospital in their home country. After their five-year training program, they're required to serve for 5 years at least in a PACS-approved setting, like a mission hospital or some other place where they'll be serving the poor. By the way, these young guys are learning how to make a homemade device to help stop bleeding after childbirth. And by the way, here's one of our residents. He just graduated this last year. He's now serving in Sierra Leone. This good placement of PACS graduates can be a challenge. This is Dr. Steve Kyota. He's from the DRC, Democratic Republic of the Congo. And when he graduated last summer, he could not return to his home country because of war and instability. Now he's working in Cameroon at a sister mission hospital. He may never be able to return to camp to DRC. And by the way, I just found out this last week that he, in January, will start as our head and neck fellow. So he'll get a head and neck fellowship, so he'll have extra skills. So very excited about that. This is Dr. Giacobelli. He was one of my fellow faculty surgeons. Again, I mentioned that he left with his family to go to Malawi so his kids could get an education. But he also is from the DRC, and he graduated from the PACS residency in Gabon, the very first PACS program. He is a fully qualified surgeon, a very good one, very talented. And after graduating, he returned to his home in the DRC, but had to leave because of hostility from the other doctors. His brother told him that if you hadn't left, they would have killed you. And he still can't return even to visit his family. He wanted to go back in February 2015 to visit his father, who's sick. His father said, please don't come back, please don't come back. And this is hard to explain, but much of African culture is jealousy-based. And this is toxic to progress, and these cultural issues can impede improvements, even in a place like a Christian hospital. Many people in the world, including here in our country, think that if you just give enough education, enough money, that cultures and nations and places improve. This is just not so. You can give lots of money and lots of education, but unless these toxic attitudes change, there's no progress. As in every culture in the world, including our own culture, the basic problem is spiritual. And it's hard to convey to people here in the West how much demonic bondage the average African suffers under. Even Christians are oppressed by these things. And we can't provide just physical help and ignore the spiritual problems. That's why mission is so important. This is Dr. Sammy Nigo. He's also from the DRC. He's scheduled to graduate in November. And he was born and raised at a mission hospital there in the DRC. And so was a smart kid. They sent him off to college, to medical school, and now they're sponsoring him. They've sponsored him through his five-year surgical residency. And he's supposed to go home in November to this hospital in the DRC. That's where he's headed to be a surgeon there. So that's pretty exciting, to be born at the hospital, come back as the surgeon. So, but his wife, Rose, isn't quite so sure. She's a little worried because she knows that the people who live in the hills above the hospital are the same ones who several years ago came down and burned the hospital. So she's a little worried, and that would worry me too if I was she. Plus, the hospital is in a rural area. Here you have two highly educated professional people. You know how difficult it is to get doctors to go to Southeast Oregon or rural areas because they think, well, is my kid going to go to high school? You know, these are all issues. Where are Eliezer and Alan going to go to school? And so these are all things that make it a challenge to place PACS residents. But last I heard, Sammy and Rose are going to be going to this hospital in the DRC. So, but there are many challenges we face, not just in doing surgery, but also in even finding good places for our PACS residents to work. Now, when new residents come, we give them a five session basic surgical skills course. And it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun. And I was privileged to be able to write this course and then teach it two times. here we are teaching some of our new residents how to sew intestine together using some beef intestine that we bought at the market. And here we are teaching them with little things that I made in the shop, how to tie knots and sew and do different things like that. On the left, they're learning some laparoscopic skills. And on the right, they're learning to use ultrasound. And it's a real thrill to see a young doctor finally understand something. It's exciting to see them develop in their surgical and clinical skills, but it's also exciting to see them mature spiritually. And I feel frustrated that we can't do more sometimes, but somehow the Holy Spirit is working. Last year, one young doctor came to me. He was on my service, and we were working together, and he said he just wasn't sure how God could forgive him for some of the things he'd done when he was younger. So we talked several times about grace and what that means. And then I gave him two books, Crazy Love by Francis Chan, and also Forgiving Yourself Totally by R.T. Kendall. And then later on, he returned the books to me. I'm not sure how much of the books he read. Then he went on to another service. But I noticed over the last year, he's become much more confident in his faith and much more of a vibrant Christian. So, it's wonderful to see them develop. By the way, this young resident, Dr. James Joseph, he's from the South Sudan. And if you've seen my prayer letter that I just put out this week, he and his family just had to move to Kenya, to the PACS program in Kenya, because his little girl, Jessie, needs to go to school. And all the schools are closed at Bingo. So I won't be able to see him when I go back. Since 2015, there has been increasing instability in Cameroon. What began as protests against alleged discrimination by the French-speaking government against the English speakers has grown into a full-fledged movement to secede as a separate nation. And both the separatist elements and the government troops, though, have engaged in atrocities against the civilian population. And children have been out of school in much of the country, much of our area, for almost 2 years. Strikes in which all shops are closed occur at least once a week. And there are random killings and burnings of homes and villages all over the two western provinces. So people are living in fear, and travel has become more dangerous. But Bingo has been spared due to prayer and its isolated location. We call it the Bingo bubble. In fact, the Cameroon Baptist Convention leadership met with the government and also with the leaders of the separatist troops and asked them, please leave Bingo alone, because they both bring their wounded to our hospital. So far they have respected that and have recognized it as a neutral area. So pray that that continues to happen. Pray for wisdom for mission leaders and PACS leadership to know if and when to remove missionaries and our PACS residents. You may know, if you get my prayer letter, that in July, for 1 month, we had to move all our PACS residents and their families to a sister hospital. And if things really go bad, we'd have to move them all to different programs in Africa. And that would be huge, to move 14 young families to different sites in Africa. Once a month, I host all the PACS residents and faculty in my little apartment for a supper. And it has been very popular. They ask about it every month. And Dr. Debbie, you're gonna have the supper this month. And it makes them feel like family. They bring their kids, and I have all these baskets of toys that I've gotten through the years that they just go crazy over. And I'm thrilled that they have continued to do this monthly while I've been at home, even in my absence. I'm physically well cared for. I have a two-bedroom apartment that I fixed up, and I love it. It's really a retreat for me. I hope I can return to it. I hope there's a ministry to return to. But I must consider, you know, all the possibilities, and I have to remember that everything belongs to God, and God is sovereign. I can buy basics and some fruits and vegetables locally. This is the strip mall where I shop. I don't buy everything I see in the market. Anyone wants to guess what this is? It's not vegetable, it's grasshoppers. And they say they're tasty. So the nearest town is about an hour away, and I have been able to go shopping there 4 or 5 times. I have a freezer that's broken right now. Pray that when I get back, I can fix my freezer, because it's very important to be able to store things up and stock up. Also, I can order things from Douala, which is about 8 hours away, which is a major city. Bingo is situated in a beautiful area. I've been privileged to go on about 5 hikes since I've been there. During the rainy season, you can see 7 waterfalls from the hospital. It's beautiful. This would be a great place to do a short-term mission trip. If the Lord allows me to return, or come long-term, if the Lord allows me to return, will it be safe and prudent to go on these hikes? I'm not really sure. Every Thursday morning, doctors, missionaries, and senior staff get together for a Bible study. And I attend every chance that I get, depending on my call. However, Bingo is an isolated place, and there are very few long-term missionaries. It looks like there's a lot there, but these are mostly short-term people. We get a lot of faculty coming back and forth to help us with the internal medicine, the surgical program. But my neighbor, Debbie Barden, this is her home actually, Debbie and Rick Barden, she was for about 4 months, was meeting with me once a week for prayer and just debriefing, so I'd have someone to talk to. And I felt like I was going for months without a significant conversation. But that was only for 4 months. So it did help me a lot, as Bingo was a fairly lonely place. And if I am allowed to return, I hope that Debbie will be able to continue to do that. Also, it will help when the other SIM couples come. We'll have more of a community. And you can pray that God will provide someone to consistently be my prayer partner during the time that I'm in country. To close, I want to play an official PACS video for you. And then after that, we'll see if there's time for questions or whether we should move on to the next, to the communion. So here's a video for you.
From a professor that 6 million people, that only maybe two or three surgeons, and all those surgeons are just one time.
The estimate is that there are 56 million people in Africa today who need an operation that have no access to a cure that can provide an operation.
Countries that don't have even basic surgical services have just devastating health problems. And so surgeons are necessary, and good surgery is necessary. The surgical training program that we offer is a 5-year residency training program based on the same model as we use in the United States. PACS stands for the Pan-African Academy of Christian Surgeons. And it is a program that developed, started at Longwood Hospital, and now it is spread to many countries. We have annual examinations. There is supervision in the operating room that is very closely monitored. And we have residents who are coming from many countries to train.
We have built right into our curriculum a spiritual program over the course of 5 years. It includes Bible study.
It's one of the best training programs now in Africa. It's recognized and seen as that by the African surgical societies.
I like how PACS is educating doctors here in Africa. They provide everything we need for a very good education.
Personally, I came here with almost no knowledge. I acquired a lot more skills than just a few skills I had.
In me, I was having that desire of, you know, becoming a surgeon one day. But I never knew how it would be possible. I finished my high school in a war situation. Congo was in the war. We were like fighting every day. I did, instead of 6 or 7 years, I did 10 years because of that instability. There was no way to achieve what you are feeling one day in life. God helped me to, you know, to connect with PACS to achieve my dream. My plan is to go back to the Republic Democratic of Congo to help those poor people who can't afford anything, who are dying because of lack of skills.
PACS is a right calling and a right providence of God to a continent which is torn and which is underserved.
These are future leaders. They're not just surgical residents. They're going back to places in which there are virtually no surgical faculty. They will be the ones that change the medical landscape of their countries, and because of that, they'll have a tremendous influence as believers and Christians.
In discipleship, PACS has made us think more like Christ. We pray for those that are totally down, hopeless, patients that have terminal illness, and patients that have financial constraints as well.
Doing the work I'm doing here in the hospital is so important for me because we are doing it to glorify God, to glorify Jesus. We want people to see Jesus through us.
To me, PACS is a gracious and God-given gift to the continent of Africa.
My hope is that our residents would live the gospel and change the health of the whole continent of Africa.
This is the way to change medicine, the way to change Africa, the way to change people. I am completely in.
So if you're interested in praying, there's a list of my latest prayer requests on the table. It's a sheet you can pick up, and I'll turn it now over to Pastor. Thank you.
So we do want to take an opportunity. Now, first off, let me remind you that there's a potluck right after service, so there's plenty of time to actually sit and actually talk with Debbie. But does anybody have any questions they'd like to ask right now?
She asked about, will there ever be a large Ebola epidemic again? She asked that because in Liberia, I was part of that, the response to that. Probably not, because now they have a post-exposure vaccine that if people identify themselves as being contacts, they can give them a shot after they've been exposed, and it seems to be 100% effective. So thank the Lord for that. So. She asked about the education of our residents. They all come to us as full-fledged doctors. The age limit is 35. We have to take 35 and younger. So many of them have been practicing for a number of years, but some of them are MDs, some of them have another title because each country is different. But they are come to us as full-fledged doctors. Most of them have been practicing for a number of years in their countries. No, they have to, when they apply, they have to be full-fledged doctors. So there's no feeder program to the PACS program or anything like that. So.
Are most of them just general surgeons to be able to encompass all the areas that situations they encounter, or are they specific?
Yeah, if we train them to be general surgeons. They come to us as doctors, but like they're working as general medical officers in their communities, and we train them to be general surgeons. We of course don't have a way to teach them heart surgery. They don't do we just do a little bit of neurosurgery. We drain holes in people's heads and things like that. But we try to teach them everything that is possible to do in our setting. And then there's an orthopedic surgery program and the PACS program, actually two of them now, one just starting in Ethiopia, and also they have the opportunity now to go on to be a cardiac thoracic surgeon in Kenya, and also there's a pediatric surgery program, and the head and neck program at our institution. But we train them to be general surgeons, do as much as they possibly can. So, yes?
Talk about all these people that are there that are coming in and getting these surgeries. What's the transportation like to get there?
He asked, how do the patients get to Bingo? They come by private car, by buses, by taxi, everything. That's a problem right now because the separatists have stopping buses at random, and so the people are a little afraid to come. So the patient volume is down, which is a problem, not just for our residents getting trained, but also, there's people out there that need care. We also have a helipad at the hospital. You know who at SIL is? Wycliffe? SIL has a helicopter that brings patients periodically, and there's also an SIL grass airstrip below the hospital, so they bring in patients. They also bring their missionaries for their appointments and things like that. But people somehow get there. She asked about equipment. There's a lot of things we need, but the Bingo is one of the better equipped hospitals that I've worked in. It's wonderful. The one wonderful thing about it is that the Cameron Baptist Convention and the missionaries that started it somehow have taught integrity, and there does not seem to be the theft problem at the hospital that I experienced in Liberia. So that's just a wonderful answer to prayer for me. There still is some trouble, but nothing like before. Things tend to stay there. And then things break down and we can't replace them because they have to bring them into the country and things like that. But there is much more there than I've ever seen at a typical mission hospital where I've worked. I've worked in a lot of mission hospitals. So a question right down here.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's a very isolated place. It started as a leprosy clinic, and the reason it was put there was because the local headman gave, it's like 3,000 acres, I think, to the Cameroon, or the North American Baptists, and because it was cursed land, and he didn't want it. So it's like, great, we'll take it. And so now it's become a hospital. So it's very isolated, but it's hard to get to. It's also a little hard to live there in many ways, but it also has been a blessing in the difficulties because the bad guys have to work to get to us. And most of them aren't that they're pretty lazy, so. The hospital is funded entirely by patient revenue. So that's a problem. When the PACS residents were removed from Bingo Baptist Hospital and the patient volume's down, patient revenues for the hospital is lower. And so that's a real issue because they have to pay salaries. The French government gave a loan to build a new outpatient building, which we desperately needed. We got to pay those loan payments. The CT scanner, the loan payments have to be paid for that. So all those things. So I've asked for, with the North American Baptists, if they can set up a in the U.S. tax deductible fund for just patient revenue, and they're working on that. So maybe with my next prayer letter, I can include that as a link so people can help with that. They haven't asked for that before. It came from me because, but they have, they're self-supporting. This is not run by foreigners. Also, we bring equipment in our luggage as much as we can. So. No, not that. Most of those kind of things they get in country or they buy. They buy things from Europe. There also is a container that's sent out regularly from Texas, from a church in Texas that we can put things in. But the Cameron Baptist Convention, most things they buy themselves. There's specialty things. Like right now I have a big box in my house that's full of gastrostomy tubes that I'm going to bring out in my luggage. You know, so I'll have a lot of extra luggage when I leave in November, if God lets me leave. It's just a combination of, you know, the container, the hand luggage, you know, different things like that. So, anyway.
Okay, so like I said, we're going to have a potluck, and we want to have you have an opportunity to talk with Debbie. And I'm reminded of it's an old pastor's story, right? So if you've been in a church long enough, you probably have heard it. But one day a man's walking down the beach, and he sees a young boy, and he's picking up starfish, and they're everywhere. The last storm that came through, they all come up on shore, and this boy is taking the starfish, and he's just tossing them into the ocean. And at first he's thinking the boy is perhaps being cruel to, you know, tossing starfish, because let's face it, it's what a boy might do. Not to be cruel, but, you know, let's throw a starfish. And he comes up to the boy and asks, what's happening here? He goes, well, I'm trying to get them back into the ocean. And the man says, do you understand how many starfish? There is no way you're going to save them all. What difference do you think you're going to make in all of this? And the boy picks up one more starfish. He says, I don't know, but it makes a difference to this one. You know, and I see those numbers, Debbie, and it's like, I think anybody else would just throw up their hands and, oh, well, I guess not. And so what's happening there, and I really appreciate, Debbie, how you connected that to the Good Samaritan. That is so, so crucial. We forget, we think the gospel is only to those who might preach. It's beyond that. So be praying. In fact, I'm going to pray, and we're going to transition into a time of communion. Father God, we do thank you so much for the ministry that's happening with PAX, and Father, with the impact that they're having in that area, and Lord, just seeing some of these doctors returning home with the skills that you have equipped them with there, perhaps to dangerous situations. So, Father, we pray your will be done in this, and that, Father, that as they go, the gospel goes, and Lord, that they might... Or they might impact one. And Father, we just we thank you. We thank you for Debbie. We thank you for her time to hear this. And Lord, please lay it on our hearts daily. We just pray this in your Son's name. Amen. We've been going through 1 Timothy, and I'm not preaching. Don't worry. But we are going to come to the communion, and at the end of chapter 3, we've just been dealing with chapter 3 for over the past couple of weeks, but at the end of it, Paul just reminds quickly, there's a reason for all of this, why we're doing all of this, and this is the point that he gets to. He says, and this is talking about Christ, he was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. And when we stop and we think about why it is that we are who we are, it's because of the truth of who Christ is. And if this is not true, then all of this is in vain to some extent, right? And Jesus explained to his disciples with communion, keep in mind he was with these guys for 3 years, and by now they should probably get it. And of course, if you pay attention to a few of them, they missed the point a few times. But nonetheless, he comes to them, and they're having supper. They're having a very large supper, a very important supper, traditionally speaking. But here it says, now while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat this. This is my body. And as every time we come to the table, I think I'm I think I say it every time, and I will continue to say it every time. It's very important to understand. It's not, Jesus isn't just saying, hey guys, have some bread. In fact, he breaks the tradition as a whole, and he declares that he is the bread, that this bread represents the exchange that he's offering, my body for your body. Your body's not going where where you think it's going. Mine is. Take mine. And he takes that bread and he gives it to them, and I'm sure at that moment it would be a bit confusing, but Jesus being Jesus keeps going. He took a cup, and then after he'd given thanks, he gave it to them and said, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. And yet we are told by Paul in 1 Corinthians that as often as you gather together, do this in remembrance of him, in remembrance of Christ. And so we come to the communion table reminded of what it is that that he did for us. And that we have just heard this morning, and we need to be reminded it wasn't just for us. There are those around the globe that this message, and stop and think about that for a moment, that sitting in an upper room in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, Jesus gives it to just a handful of guys. And what is being proclaimed here is being proclaimed in Bingo, and it's being proclaimed in places we can't even pronounce, and it's being proclaimed in places we have yet to hear of, and yet it's the very same thing. And so this morning I'm going to ask the worship team to go ahead and come forward, and I invite you to come to the table and to take the bread, take the cup, and just be reminded what it is that Christ has done for you that we might be restored to fellowship with our God. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you so much. We thank you for the gift of your Son. We thank you for, Lord, we thank you for salvation. We thank you that you have shared with us this great mystery that is your love for us. And as we come to the table, might we be reminded, Jesus, of what it is that you have done for us. And you've done this out of obedience. You have done this out of love. And Spirit, we pray that, Lord, as we walk in this, that we follow. We just give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen. So again, we just want to invite you to join us in the fellowship hall. Some of you are thinking, I didn't know. That's okay. There's always extra food. Tom Thompson is kind of always on that one. So plenty for everybody. Go ahead and we can head back there. And I'm going to pray for the meal now, because people get weird. They like stand in there going, I don't know if it's been prayed for. You got to bless that food, right? Father God, we do thank you so much. We thank you for what it is that you have provided. And Lord, we thank you for the hands that you have chosen to use for that. Lord, again, we just thank you for this morning. And we thank you for the opportunity to hear what it is that you are doing in places far and near. And Lord, as we go to a time of fellowship around food, Lord, we do thank you for it. We thank you for all of the things that you have done for us. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen.